Praise be Jesus and Mary. Today, as Franciscans, we celebrate the feast of the only material object on earth apart from the Blessed Sacrament for which Saint Francis showed a jealous attachment. Typically, in the spiritual life, we say that attachments to property or material goods are hindrances to our union with God. With Saint Francis, however, life is turned upside down. His own attachment to the little church of the Portiuncolo is actually sanctifying, and it brought down many blessings upon him, upon the order that he founded, and upon all those who visited and who still visit that little rustic temple dedicated to Our Lady of the Angels in Assisi. The Virgin Mary is Queen of the Universe, and therefore she's Queen of all the angels as well. The theological reason for her queenship, her universal queenship, is her absolute predestination with Christ. Alongside him as the new Eve, alongside the new Adam, the two of them being the center and the apex of the works of God ad extra, meaning the works of God outside of himself. The entire spiritual and material universe was conceived as the great kingdom of Christ the King and Mary the Queen. And in this kingdom, the angels were called to be the adorers of the King, the God-man, and the servers of their Queen Mother. The sanctifying grace with which the angels were created was given to them in view of the merits of Christ the Mediator and Mary the Mediatrix. According to the opinion of many Franciscan theologians, the test to which all the angels had to submit was to accept this adoration of the God-man of Jesus Christ and to accept obedience to Mary. It required their humble submission to a man and to a woman who, inferior by nature, were predestined to be their superiors by grace. And even the angels themselves were destined to receive, as St. John would say, grace upon grace from the hypostatic union, referring to the union of God and man in Jesus Christ, and from the divine maternity of Our Lady as well. Some of the angels, as we know, refused to submit, preferring pride to humble obedience. In this way, Lucifer dragged with him out of heaven a third of the angels who, in one miserable chorus, all embraced his sin. But the good angels remained to worship their king, and they remained to serve their queen as well. Even in the Gospels, we see a number of angels present in the early lives of Jesus and Mary. The Archangel Gabriel, we heard today, brought the Annunciation of the Messiah to Mary, who herself seemed to demonstrate a great familiarity with angelic creatures, being disturbed not by the presence of the angel, but being disturbed by his words, by his singular and honorific salute to her. She responded to him promptly and with surety, with sureness. Again, an angel advised Saint Joseph not to fear to take Mary as his wife, acting as Mary's advocate in order to dissipate every doubt from the just foster father of the Lord. And there were hosts of angels, as we know, present at Bethlehem on the night of the Savior's birth. And according to another Franciscan, the Venerable Mary of Agreda, she said Our Lady typically had 1,000 guardian angels by her side, and that number swelled to about 10,000 during the flight of Egypt, according to Mary of Agreda. Such an enormous deployment of angelic forces was due, of course, to the singular, extraordinary mission of the Virgin Mary, who needed to be adequately defended from the envy and from the hatred of the devil who attempted to cut short her life and to cut short the life of the child with all his diabolical forces. Saint Francis, for his part, had a great devotion to the Queen of the Angels, and it's seen in the fact that he founded the Order of the Friars Minor, the Franciscans, in that little chapel that we commemorate today. He loved that place more than any other place on the face of the earth, because there he frequently enjoyed visitations from the angels themselves, and he told his friars regarding the Portiuncolo, he said, if they kick you out the door of that place, he said, get back in through the window, is what he said. That's how jealous he was of that little church, a little insignificant chapel. And it's not by chance that the Franciscan order is also called the Seraphic Order, which means the angelic order. And that St. Francis is the seraphic father of the Franciscans because his love for God and for the Immaculate burned with an intensity akin to the love of the highest choir of angels, to the seraphic, the love of the seraphic angels. The order which was born at Our Lady of the Angels has to be, therefore, both completely Marian and completely angelic at the same time. And our prayer today offered to Our Lady of the Angels is that we, Franciscans of the Immaculate, will stay that way, will be completely Marian and completely angelic too, always preferring the humility and the meekness and the obedience of the faithful angels to the pride, the anger, and the disobedience of the fallen angels. Praise be Jesus and Mary.